Chapter 55. God calls the child Samuel. This chapter is based on 1 Samuel 1:2, 1-11. Elkanah, a Levite of Mount Ephraim, was a man of wealth and influence who loved and feared the Lord. His wife, Hannah, was a woman of fervent piety and lofty faith. Their home was not gladdened by the voice of childhood, so the husband contracted a second marriage. But this step, prompted by lack of faith in God, did not bring happiness. Sons and daughters were added to the household, but the joy and beauty of God's sacred institution had been marred, and the peace of the family broken. Peninnah, the new wife, was jealous and narrow-minded, and bore herself with pride and insolence. To Hannah, hope seemed crushed, and life a weary burden. Yet she met the trial with uncomplaining meekness. At Shiloh, Elkanah's services as a Levite were not required. Yet he went up with his family to worship and sacrifice at the appointed gatherings. Even amid the sacred festivities connected with the service of God, the evil spirit that had cursed his home intruded. After presenting the thank offerings, all the family, according to the custom, united in a solemn yet joyous feast. Elkanah gave the mother of his children a portion for herself and for each of her sons and daughters. He gave Hannah a double portion, signifying that his affection for her was the same as if she had had a son. Then the second wife, fired with jealousy, claimed the precedence as one highly favored of God and taunted Hannah with her childless state. This was repeated from year to year until Hannah could endure it no longer. She wept without restraint and withdrew from the feast. Her husband vainly sought to comfort her. "Why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" Hannah uttered no reproach. The burden which she could share with no earthly friend, she cast upon God. Earnestly, she pleaded that he would grant her the gift of a son to train for him. And she made a vow that if her request were granted, she would dedicate her child to God from its birth. Hannah had drawn near to the entrance of the tabernacle, and in the anguish of her spirit, prayed and wept sore. In those evil times, such scenes of worship were rarely witnessed. Eli, the high priest, observing Hannah, supposed that she was overcome with wine. Thinking to administer a deserved rebuke, he said sternly, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." Pained and startled, Hannah answered gently, "No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." The high priest was deeply moved, for he was a man of God. In place of rebuke, he uttered a blessing. "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Hannah gives Samuel to God. Hannah received the gift which she had earnestly entreated. As she looked upon the child, she called him Samuel, asked of God. As soon as the little one was old enough to be separated from his mother, she fulfilled her vow. He was her only son, the special gift of heaven, but she had received him as a treasure consecrated to God, and she would not withhold from the giver his own. Hannah journeyed with her husband to Shiloh and presented to the priest her precious gift, saying, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." Eli, himself an overindulgent father, was awed and humbled as he beheld this mother's great sacrifice in parting with her only child, that she might devote him to the service of God. He felt reproved for his own selfish love, and in humiliation and reverence bowed before the Lord and worshipped. The mother's heart was filled with joy and praise, and she poured forth her gratitude to God. From Shiloh, Hannah returned to her home at Ramah, leaving Samuel to be trained for service in the house of God. From the earliest dawn of intellect, she had taught her son to regard himself as the Lord's. Every day he was the subject of her prayers. Every year she made a robe of service for him, and as she went up with her husband to worship at Shiloh, she gave the child this reminder of her love. Every fiber of the little garment had been woven with prayer that he might be pure, noble, and true. She earnestly pleaded that he might attain that greatness which heaven values, that he might honor God and bless his fellow men. What a reward was Hannah's, and what an encouragement to faithfulness is her example. There are opportunities committed to every mother. The humble round of duties which women regard as a wearisome task should be looked upon as a grand and noble work. The mother may make straight paths for the feet of her children, through sunshine and shadow, to the glorious heights above. But it is only when she seeks in her own life to follow Christ that the mother can hope to form the character of her children after the divine pattern. Let every mother go often to her Savior with the prayer, "Teach us, how shall we order the child, and what shall we do unto him?" Wisdom will be given her. The child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Samuel's youth was not free from evil influences or sinful example. The sons of Eli feared not God, nor honored their father, but Samuel did not seek their company, nor follow their evil ways. It was his constant endeavor to become what God would have him. The loveliness of Samuel's character drew forth the warm affection of the aged priest. He was kind, generous, obedient, and respectful. Eli, pained by the waywardness of his own sons, found comfort and blessing in the presence of his charge. No father ever loved his child more tenderly than did Eli this youth. Filled with anxiety and remorse by the profligate course of his own sons, Eli turned to Samuel for comfort. Every year saw more important trusts committed to him. While yet a child, a linen ephod was placed upon him as a token of his consecration to the work of the sanctuary. Young as he was when brought to minister in the tabernacle, Samuel had duties to perform according to his capacity. These were not always pleasant, but they were performed with a willing heart. He regarded himself as God's servant and his work as God's work. His efforts were accepted because they were prompted by love to God and a sincere desire to do his will. Thus, Samuel became a co-worker with the Lord of heaven and earth. Integrity in little things. To perform every duty as unto the Lord throws a charm around the humblest employment and links the workers on earth with the holy beings who do God's will in heaven. Integrity in little things, the performance of little acts of fidelity and little deeds of kindness, will gladden the path of life. And when our work on earth is ended, it will be found that every one of the little duties faithfully performed has exerted an influence for good that can never perish. The youth of our time may become as precious in the sight of God as was Samuel. By faithfully maintaining their Christian integrity, they may exert a strong influence in the work of reform. God has a work for every one of them. Never did men achieve greater results for God and humanity than may be achieved in our day by those who will be faithful to their God-given trust.